Good afternoon and welcome to Community Focus. It's 2 p.m. here in Muskegon, Michigan. We're at WUVS 103.7 The Beat, and this is Community Focus. As you know, this program is hosted by my friend and brother, Gregory T. Roberts, and myself, Melvin Burns II. Gregory T. has been out for an extended period, and we start the program off wishing him well and looking forward to him returning back to the program. Let's get to our weather for today, which is Friday, Valentine's Day Eve, the 13th of February. Today we have a sunny day, low of 11, high of 36. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, low of 24, high of 40. Sunday, sunny, low of 29, high of 41. On Monday, low of 29, high of 43, but expected to be cloudy. Tuesday, the clouds continue, low of 33, high of 43. On Wednesday, we have a 75% chance of rain or precipitation, low of 33, high of 42. And on Thursday, 40% chance of rain, low of 31, high of 39. So we're sneaking into those 40s. Spring will be here before you know it. As has become customary on our program, I start off with my top five list. Now, again, not top five, just a five list. As you know, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. You may not go out to dinner. You may not go get those couple massages. Maybe just stay home, watch a movie. So my five list today, five movies for Valentine's Day weekend. All right. For couples. You're not sitting home alone eating bun buns. So number one on many people's list is the classic Love and Basketball. Remember Monica's famous line, "I'll play you one on one for your heart." Number two on my list, The Notebook, tremendous love story. Remember that line, Noah says, "The best love is the kind that awakens the soul." Get you guys all cuddled up, nice and warm. Number three on my list for Valentine's Day weekend movies, When Harry Met Sally. Harry says, when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible. Number four, going old school on my list, Mahogany with Diana Ross and Billy Dee Williams. Remember that line at the end? My old man left me with six kids, the heat off, and they all got the flu. He says, well, I'll help you with your rent, see what I can do. She says, I want my old man back. I love that at the end. And number five, my personal favorite, goes back a little bit, Love Jones, Darius Lovall and Nina Mosley. Remember that classic poem, Brother to the Night? Remember that, don't you? So, who yeah, am I? He says, who am I? Well, they call me Brother to the Night. And right now, I'm the blues in your left thigh, trying to be the funk in your right. Is that all right? I am the brother to the night. I got two honorable mentions for you, but Love Jones, you cannot go wrong. Honorable mention, how about Brown Sugar? Famous line, when asked about the difference between rap and hip hop, she said, it's simple. It's like the difference between saying you love somebody and being in love with someone. Rap is just a word. And number seven, honorable mention, I've actually never seen this movie, but it was suggested to me, is Titanic. Never seen it. Here it's a great love story. I always joke and say, I already knew how it ended before it ever started. Boat sank. So, but I hear it's really a good love story, a good movie, but I have never seen it. So those are your suggestions if you want to just catch a movie and chill on this Valentine's Day weekend. All right. The reason you all come here is for our exciting and informative guest that we have on Community Focus. Today is no different. I want you to join me in welcoming a son and native of Muskegon Heights, former mayor of the city of Muskegon Heights, Walter Watt. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Burns. Glad to be here.
Yes, I don't think we've ever spoken this format.
No, I've never been invited. Thank you.
Okay, yes. My bad. We're going to talk about a few things today, but for people that may not know you, we have guests on our program from all over the world that probably tune in. Tell people a little bit about yourself and your background.
First, I want to jot down that top five list so I can get some pointers. Oh, but
I should have. First of all, what's your go-to movie for Valentine's?
Man, there's so many. I don't really know. I just sit down, eat popcorn, and you know, watch a movie. But one of my favorite all-time movies is Scent of a Woman with Al Pacino.
Oh, look at you. All right.
That's a good one. But it's just a very good movie.
All right. I'm gonna add that one to the list.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm born and raised here. Everybody knows that. And moved away for a long time after graduating high school and made the hard decision to move back when my mother was getting older and to help care for her with my brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a result, got involved with the community and running for council and the mayor and trying to make improvements the best we can here in the city of Muskegon Heights. And I think we did a pretty good job. You know, city still has some challenges, and I think that they're working to improve all those things. And you know, we got a lot of work to do, but, you know, you never give up trying.
Yeah. So you leave Muskegon Heights, you know, again, we're close in age. You was here
60s, you're a little bit 70s. Older than me. Tell the truth.
Okay. You know, you work in career, you work in private sector for years, you move back here. You first went on city council. What made you decide that you wanted to get in public, run for public office?
You know, when I moved back here and on the subsequent times I came back, you know, when I was living out of town and come back and visit, you know, it was always the same. Mm-hmm. The city didn't look like it changed or made any tremendous improvements in light of the constant change that was going on around us and what I'd seen going on throughout the state. You know, and I say, well, you know, I thought I could bring something valuable to the council and bring some new ideas and help address some of the challenges that we were having.
Okay.
And so I decided to run. I mean, based on that, you know, having some fresh new ideas and having seen a lot throughout, you know, my career in many different areas and knowing some things, people. And thought I could bring something to the table from that respect.
So you run for city council, you get elected. And 2 years into your term, you decided to run for mayor, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what made you spend 2 years on the council, working with other council people, working with other mayors. What made you decide you wanted to take the step to run for mayor?
Having a vision on moving the city in a new, different direction. Mm-hmm. And just not completely satisfied with how we were moving and the things that we were accomplishing. And we had some tremendous challenges and, you know, all I saw was doing a lot of the same things over and over again, expecting a different result. And it just wasn't happening. And, I thought that if I came in with some new and fresh ideas and we could do some things differently. However, once you get in there, once you get in the mayor's seat, it's a whole new ball game. You know, it's about bringing everybody together for a common good and a common cause of improving the city. What I learned is everybody has a lot of different ideas about how and the way that you improve the city. But we did make a lot of things happen that was good for the city.
You know, I've been at the station, gosh, maybe close to 20 years, and we interview candidates when they're running. When they get elected, after they leave office. And I always ask candidates this when they're out there running, how much different from running for office versus once you're elected and you're sitting there in that chair and serving?
It's a night and day difference. You know, you can say what you want to do when you're running and what you're going to do and have that momentum and that energy and that tenacity to do things. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, you know, you need four people to come along with you. And if, you know, and it's a lot of different personalities, not a lot of different ways that people think of how we do things. And that's nothing wrong with that. That's democracy. But that's where you come together and you have a conversation about the best ways to getting to where you want to go and achieving that goal. Mm-hmm. It's nothing wrong with having a different thoughts or thinking differently, but the bottom line is you got to be able to have influence enough to sell what it is you want to do up on three or four other people to come along with you. If you can't do that, it's a good chance you won't get much done.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. If you said to say from your time at public service in Muskegon Heights, what's the one or two things that maybe people try to tell you or you just had no idea about? And it's like, wow, I didn't realize this before I ran.
What I didn't realize is the little amount of power that the mayor truly has, mm-hmm. you know, because when you break it down, it's all about the number of votes. And, yeah. and no matter what your ideal, what you want to do, you can't just force it down nobody's throat. You got mm-hmm. to talk to the other council people and bring them along to try to get on your agenda and your focus, your vision, yeah. Because the bottom line is seven council people, and each and every one of them has one vote, and your vote is no more powerful than theirs. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you got seven mayors. Mm-hmm. So that lack of understanding that I had in that regard when I got in office kind of gave me some. You got to refocus or redirect your energy to. Mm-hmm. But that's a good thing because it keeps you honest in regard that you got to communicate with all those that's up there mm-hmm. to try to get things done. Now, there's some hardcore people that probably will never, ever go along with what you're trying to do mm-hmm. for whatever reason. But at the end of the day, you might want to find three other ones that's going to be willing to listen. But again, it's nothing wrong with disagreeing, but we have to learn how better to agree to disagree.
One of our frequent listeners, Michael Anthony Smith, has a question. He says, MacArthur Watt, little brother? Question mark.
Yes, that is correct.
same family.
Can't tell by the head.
we've talked through this. When you mentioned that about realizing I got to work with seven other people, Muskegon Heights is designed to be a council manager form of government. And so do you think from your time experience, do you think that should change or, understanding what's required of a city manager's education background.
Yeah.
Do you think that type of government should change Muskegon Heights?
Man, that's a very, very, very good question. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, I absolutely believe that it should for the reasons that, because you have to be able to keep the city manager honest. Mm-hmm. And because the city manager has in really more authority and power than the mayor. Mm-hmm. They manage and run the day-to-day operations of the city and drive the vision forward that the council puts to them. Mm-hmm. So they get to make a lot of decisions without the mayor or the council involved. So mm-hmm. I think that a lot of little things that I think if they were in place in terms of accountabilities, mm-hmm. like as simple as, okay, we know the city manager has a certain amount of authority to write or whatever checks. Well, anything that I think the city manager should do maybe should be pushed for the mayor's approval or signature so that because the mayor, the bottom line, they hold the mayor accountable for mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And if you've seen this, you can question it. And you can hold it up if it's not right. Mm-hmm. But if it is, you can move it forward. So it gives a little checks, better checks and balances there.
But when you said that, are you saying a little more accountability or are you saying like full-time mayor, that type of thing?
Well, for this small of community mm-hmm. and understand what mayors make, I don't know if anyone would be willing or have the time to not have a full-time job to take on this because it's so political. You quit a job, good job, paying job to come be mayor here for 4 years and uh-huh. that job is gone. Next 4 years, people will vote you out. It's something we need to look at though, because, uh-huh. well, let me back up. I don't agree with it because city managers are almost like a specialty job. Mm-hmm. They're trained, they're educated for these specific jobs. And generally, our mayors are elected from the general population. Anybody can run for mayor with no formal education whatsoever.
18 years old
and just got out of jail and I'm gonna run for mayor, whatever, uh-huh. that can happen.
Yeah.
And that's nothing wrong with that, mm-hmm. but these jobs are very difficult. City manager jobs are very hard. So, it takes a very highly skilled person to do that job. So in that regard, no, I would certainly think that we wouldn't want to go to a different format.
Yeah, you're talking about the time constraint, you know, and again, council's meeting Monday nights, but it's a lot more time than that involved than being on council and being mayor, isn't it?
A lot more. It's an everyday job. I mean, first of all, a lot of people think that you're paid a lot of money as mayor and as council. Let me be honest with you. Let me be clear with you. The mayor and the council does not get paid a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the structure of our city. You know, we're very and most small town cities are the same way, set up the same way. They might get a stipend here and there, but no.
Better keep your day job.
Keep your day job.
We got a question from Chelsea McKinney, and I want to speak for you, but I think this is something you're not involved in. I'm wondering if anyone can explain the most recent settlement what the city had to come to terms with. That's something you've been gone from office for almost 3 years now, so not something you're involved in.
Not at all, but it started, I think, when I was in the office. Yeah. And pretty much my understanding is that it was a contract dispute, a breach of contract that the city, the former city manager had engaged the city in, and neither myself nor the council had any idea that he had done so. Therefore, then when the young lady came forward to, he never stepped forward and told her that he had signed a contract. So as a result, you know, she sued and won the case.
Yeah. Got a question, Mr. Smith. Any ideas to help the current mayor raise revenue? I prefer a mayoral form of government. That's one of the things I know we've talked about in the past. You know, cities facing some financial trouble. That's been the case for the last 40, 50 years. What are some of your thoughts about how the city of Muskegon Heights could bring additional revenues in?
That's a good question, Mr. Smith. It's many things we could do to bring additional revenue to the city, and I've been a strong advocate for that, for these things from the very beginning. Number one, we must redefine and restructure and rebuild the infrastructure of housing, and that is the Muskegon Heights used to be at the peak population, 20,000, 25,000, you know, and you factor in that amount of people and the amount of tax dollars that comes along with that is tremendous. We had a population now between 9,500, somewhere around there. So over half the population, over half the tax base is gone because of that. So you got to find a way to bring people back to live, work, and play in your community. Mm-hmm. And that starts with housing. Mm-hmm. It is an economic crisis of housing throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And Muskegon Heights has a tremendous affordability story to tell in that regard. Mm-hmm. And we must bring middle income people back as well. So in doing so, we have to make housing affordable and bring people back here to work and play. And not just that, we got to become more business friendly so that businesses will be willing to redevelop and come back into the community and as well pay taxes and provide more workers. And probably the most the best opportunity is to take a look at the water filtration plan and come up with new ways and ideas that we could distribute that water and market it. Because for the life of me, I see so many small communities that's working with these bottling companies that's producing water in their community. And we have one of the best filtration plants in the area and with a lot of capacity to do a lot of different things. So and that was just a few things, Mr. Smith, that we could do. But again, one more thing I think that I would suggest. We have a jewel at Mona Lake, and I asked myself over however many years I've been born, what has changed out there? It's our jewel. And there's very few things that have changed at Mona Lake since I was a child. Everywhere around this state where there's little small communities with beachfront property and water, they have housing, apartments, condos, small marinas, things that people love to live and be around. So one of the things, and we have an entire park on the other side of where the the pavilion and the green areas, I'll say, that is not being used, has not been used since I was in high school. Last time when I was in high school, we played a baseball game on there. I don't think a baseball game has been played on that baseball field since, nor has I seen any people playing soccer. Wasted green space, land that could be reconfigured to satisfy all the needs that we have, that we use it for right now. We can provide housing, apartments, condos out there with a marina, and bring forth new tax dollars, an infrastructure that will help us revitalize our community. And that's just one thing. Oh, that's a couple of things.
When we talk about growing businesses, let me ask you in two parts. Are you a proponent of using things like tax abatements, those things to help businesses expand or attract new businesses to the community?
Absolutely. I mean, if you go anywhere around the country, anywhere in this world, abatements are given to businesses all the time to come into communities to build, develop, and hire workers. And you may not get the taxes on the front end, but you're going to definitely get far more greater taxes on the back end. But not just that, you're going to have something that's being developed in your community that's going to help it keep vibrant, and it's going to be more inviting to other businesses to come in and be willing to work and play with you. If you don't have some type of platform for tax abatements to businesses, it's a good chance they're not going to look in your community. Look at what's happening downtown.
I was going to say,
I guarantee you, every single business that opens up in downtown Muskegon is getting some form of tax abatement.
And the housing area, like we see several housing developments, multifamily housing developments in Muskegon using a tax credit program where they pay some type of payment to the city, but it's not fully taxed. Incentives like that for housing. You may not all the mechanics like brownfield redevelopment, neighborhood enterprise zones. Are you in favor of using those for residential housing as well?
Man, I'm in favor of using any and everything that's available and possible that we could get a housing development started here in the city of Muskegon.
The idea is that's an investment to give something up now to get it later.
It's the way business is done. Businesses, not only do they expect that, they want it, and that's what they come looking for. They go to communities that have, you know, a tax friendly environment, so to speak. But you know, you develop now by giving tax abatements, you get it back in the end on the backside.
We have a question from Councilman William Kitchen. What are your thoughts concerning the forensic audit?
Thank you, Councilman Kitchen, for that question. You know what? It's nothing wrong with having a forensic audit. And the thing is, we get an audit each and every year, a general audit. And the things that the auditor has told us, I know from the time I was at 7 years and from what I was told prior years to that, each and every year, the reasons for the city of Muskegon Heights financial troubles is because of flat-lined revenue stream. Meaning no new development, no new revenues coming into the city, but in expenditures that have skyrocketed. So at some point or another, you're going to have a collision to where you're going to have to address that issue, or you're going to let someone else address the issue. So while a forensic audit is good for the city to have, it's not the answer. Now, what I think you're going to get from a forensic audit is the same thing you've been told already each and every year by the general auditor, plus an itemized checklist of where the checks went. That's it. He's going to tell you, or she, your revenue stream is flat, has been for 20, 30 years. Your expenditures, you're talking legacy costs that the city is bearing, lack of new tax revenue coming in, is, you know, those things are vitally important to the survival of a city. But if anywhere you go, Councilman Kitchen, anywhere you go, whenever you have a situation, your expenditures are skyrocketing and your a revenue stream. When for those don't understand what revenue stream is, that's your money coming in to the city that you're able to spend to supply the needs that the citizens need. Whenever your revenue stream is flat and your expenditures, money you're spending out, is going up, you're going to have a collision course that you cannot address. Mm-hmm. And either you make drastic changes to do so, or you're going to come to a collision course. And not just that, a forensic audit, from my understanding, ain't cheap.
I'm not familiar with them. I cut my eye teeth in management.
But I encourage, I hope that they do be able to afford to get a forensic audit, because somehow there seems to be this cloud over me that somehow things were done bad or wrong and people were taking money. One thing people must understand is when you in some type of municipality, working in municipality, getting money, stealing money, uh-huh, is virtually almost impossible.
Well, people do it, but
they get caught.
That's what I was gonna say. I cut my eye teeth in management and budget. Yeah. That's what we did. We dug into the department's how to work, and so that's why people are co-conspirators.
You got to have a whole lot of people in cahoots with you to do that. And first of all, for myself personally, my integrity is too great. Yeah. I've never been to jail. I've never been involved with any type of crime, mm-hmm, whatsoever in, mm-hmm, my life. And I'm not planning on doing so.
Mama Watt
put something on me, man. Let me tell you. And it's still on me. So, but I appreciate that question, Councilman. That is a good question. And, I hope that the city can find a way to have that forensic audit, because that seems to be the.
It's kind of like you said, whatever your thoughts are, if it's a block to keep us from moving forward, we might feel like, they'll need it. But if it's a question everybody needs to answer, seven people, the decision to do this.
Just find them.
It gets us to the next step.
If it gets us to moving forward in a better direction, mm-hmm, and removes this cloud over just anyone, mm-hmm, that council people, mayor, the finance persons are doing something wrong, let's do it. Mm-hmm. But I got a funny feeling, even after it's done, it's still going to be, these clouds.
Some people
you can never satisfy.
Look, but we have a couple minutes left. I want to make sure we get to this, because we had talked about this briefly before. One of the appeals you want to make is for younger people to get involved in local government. So we got a minute or two left.
Yeah.
Use the microphone to talk to some of the younger people that listen to our program.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The involvement of young people is so vitally important to the survival of community, because, especially in an age of technology that's constantly changing and moving fast to, someone old like me, I can't keep up. I might have some ideas, but there are other ways to implement those things that young people might be able to bring forward to the table that I never even thought about. Experience is good. Mm-hmm. It's good to know what to do when you're in a situation. But from what I've seen, and from knowing from being in the mayor's seat, our experience is almost hurting us in some cases, because we're stuck in a time capsule.
Oh, that's so interesting.
That
we want things to be like they used to be.
Like they used to be is dead. Mm-hmm. And as a result, it reflects our city.
Yeah.
So we young people are our future. Mm-hmm. You have to bring them along, train them up, get them involved, and let them learn. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so proud of Councilman Kitchen getting involved. He's doing an outstanding job with what he's doing. And I hope that there could be other young people to get into this political scene and learn the ropes. Mm-hmm. Because it ain't a fun game. If you think it's fun, it ain't fun. I mean, to make these hard decisions that needs to be made, and mm-hmm, everybody's attacking you. But when you love something, you fight for it. Mm-hmm. And if you have some good ideas to help save it, you bring them forth. Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not,
that can't be 30 minutes, man.
It goes by quick. Listen,
second guest ain't here. Let's keep going.
I appreciate you coming in today, spending some time for people that may not have met you before. You can see him around town. He just another kid from Lindbergh School. Thank you for coming in. enjoy your Valentine's Day weekend. What did you say? Sin of a Woman?
Yes. Sin of a Woman. Al Pacino.
Mayor Watts recommended a movie for you for your,
now, it's not one of those real romantic movies, but it has a little romantic catch.
Is it a good date movie?
Yeah.
Date night movie?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. We had our recommendation from Mayor Watt. Again, thank you for joining us. For those that know, 06 to you on your journey.
06, brother.
All right.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break and we'll be back with our next guest. Welcome back on this Valentine's Day Eve program. My next guest is Ben Rollins with Dancing with the Stars. Before we get into our interview, you probably weren't here when I started the last segment, but talking about good movies to watch for Valentine's Day. You and your significant other, cuddled up, good date night movie. What's one of your go-tos?
That's tough. That's a tough question, man.
Nothing with sports in it.
No. You know what, though? Hey, my wife and I actually had a funny conversation this morning. Uh-huh. If I'm by myself and I watch a movie, I'm watching like action and this and that. But when her and I are together, I love the sappy stuff. Like the romantic stuff.
My wife and I did a binge at Christmas time, all of those sappy Christmas movies, that Lifetime, Hallmark.
Yeah. As I get older, I'm getting a little softer.
Are you still being like, oh, they got together? You're happy.
I knew that was going to happen. The sappy stuff, man. I'll be honest with you. One called The Longest Ride. It's like something like cowboy, I don't know, and something art. Yeah. I don't know. I watch it, I enjoy it.
Okay.
But that's a good one. But I'm into the romantical movies, I call it with the wife.
Action's good. My wife likes action, but date night sometime you gotta have something you cuddle up with, a little popcorn, just chill, put your arm around it. You can't always do that with action movies.
Exactly.
You're throwing punches and that doesn't work. Yeah. Well, let's get to what we're talking about here. Ben, you're involved with Dancing with the Local Stars.
Yes.
For people who don't know, tell people what that is.
So Dancing with the Local Stars, it's a program that got started. This is the 18th year. What it is people get nominated, like myself. I am a local star. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm called. I don't call myself that. However, you get nominated and then it's raising money for all the food pantries.
Yes, I
believe they cover Ottawa County, Muskegon County, and Oceana County.
Yes, they do.
And so it's we're just trying to raise money to go into all the local food banks. And I know that, like I said, this is the 18th year.
Yeah.
They've raised over $2.3 million in the last 17 years.
Yes.
We had, I believe, last year, $276,000.
Yes.
Was raised last year.
Tremendous donation. I'm part of a food banker in town, and just a tremendous helpful donation that they get to us. And so you've been selected. Somebody did you the favor of nominating you to dance this year. Do you know who did that to you?
I did find out who it was.
Your former friend.
Yeah, former friend is fair. Yeah. She's a cool lady.
Yeah.
I found out I got nominated. I got the phone call. I laughed pretty hard, and I was like, there's just no way. I said, absolutely not.
I'm taking it. They didn't rely on your extensive dance background.
No. I don't have a dance background by no means. I work construction. I run a construction company. Sure. I'm learning a lot though. I'm having fun and tons of different fundraisers. Each team does. Sure. There are 12 different teams.
Okay.
And so everyone's kind of doing different fundraisers at different avenues, different restaurants or mm-hmm. dance things and stuff like that. So you get to meet all these people that are good to the community. And I've really learned a lot, and I learned a lot about myself. And this is easily the most fun I think I've ever had doing something.
So most people, you say you own a construction company?
Yeah.
What's the name of your company?
So Great Lakes Design and Renovation, my company, or it was started out as BJR Install when I was on my own, but we are trying to rebrand it as I've grown, and I have employees working with me now. So, trying to branch out.
So that's how most people in town would know you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So had you ever been to the event prior to this year?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
I had made the Saturday night show last year was the first time I got to see it. And it was awesome.
And
for like a local production show. It was extremely entertaining.
Entertaining, a lot of fun.
Oh, man, a lot of fun.
Yeah, you find, you know, I went, my partner here, Gregory T, who's out ill, he was in a couple years ago. It's my first time going. And a lot of fun. Then you find yourself really getting into, like, evaluating who you think's the best. Yeah. Well, they were okay, but, you know, people have not. And what's the date of the event this year?
So February 27th.
Okay.
That's a Friday night is the first show. And then February 28th, they have two shows.
Okay.
So I believe it's a 1 o'clock and then a 7 o'clock on Saturday, the 28th. And then I believe it starts at 7 on the 27th as well. So there's three shows over the two nights. There are still some tickets available. There's not a ton of them left, but there are still some available. The website is dancemuskegon.com. You can go on the website. I believe Saturday's matinee tickets are the only ones that are open right now to the public. I think we're under 50 tickets left. I think they're $50 for that show. It's been fun.
So for people that don't know this, you get the call, you've been nominated, local Dancing with the Stars. how long ago was that?
So the call I got was, I believe, in around October.
Okay.
Before October.
Yeah. So if people don't know, because again, it's a really good show, it's well done. So when did you guys start practicing?
So our team started practicing December 15th.
Did you have any idea?
No.
So give people an idea. What's your schedule like? How often do you guys practice?
So our team, we're practicing 3 days a week right now. We do have a group practice, which is all the local stars and all the pros. Every other Friday, they do that for four Fridays for the opening number. Because at the very beginning of the show, everyone comes out and everyone does a dance to kind of get the crowd ready and excited. And so our last open practice for that is next week, the 20th. And then after that, it's we're a week away from showtime. So
you excited?
I'm excited. The nerves have wore off. I was extremely nervous, and now I'm excited. Like, so we've practiced.
Has your wife seen you practice yet?
Yes.
Okay.
My wife is a sweetheart, but when I go home and I tell her I'm struggling with this move, she doesn't bully me, but man, she's like pushing me really good. and we like to make light of each other in a playful way. So, when she's laughing at me because I can't do a move correct and I look really goofy doing it, it actually is pretty relaxing, because it's like, all right, and we're doing this for a good reason.
We're doing this
for a good cause. So, I'm not the greatest dancer. I'm trying.
I think part of it is takes you out of your comfort zone.
Oh yeah.
To do something you didn't think you'd do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who else is on the team with you?
So on my team, we have Pastor Mary. She runs a church on Henry Street. I cannot think of the name of the church just because I'm drawing a blank. And then, Kathy is another one of the stars on our team. She works at Life Circles. And so that's our team. Then our pro is Brian Mosley, who works at Meals on Wheels. And then we also have like a special guest on our team that she's got a dance background, so she definitely helps make us look a little bit better and pushes us to be better too. So
when you have the group prize, you've seen the other teams and how to comprise and
so no, and it is,
so you've never seen the other teams yet.
Well, I've seen the other teams, but we've only done the group open number. No one knows each other's dance. No one knows the songs to the dance. Like it's very secretive.
You weren't tempted to like kind of scope out the competition.
Yeah.
Maybe see if anybody got a bad knee, you could nudge a little bit.
None of that going on right now. It's just everyone has different practice times and different practice locations and stuff. So, people are keeping it under wraps though. Okay. So, outfits, no one knows what people are going
to
wear.
I don't want to give too much away, but you got a couple of different outfits you're going to be wearing, right?
We have something picked out.
I guess I can't ask. we don't want to give it away, but let's just say it won't be hoodie and jeans.
No, definitely not hoodie and jeans. I do have my, we have our team shirt that I'm wearing. Oh, cool. Okay. Our team is Mixtape Throwback, and I'm kind of flashing it here for the camera here.
Okay.
But, Mixtape Throwback is our team.
All right. Like that.
I can give you this. We're definitely working with something from the 90s.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be fun.
Okay.
It's going to be fun.
Good. Oh, awesome. So it sounds like you're excited and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I really am. Every practice, I'm more excited.
Okay.
And we're starting, you know, we're working on things, trying to fine tune moves and this and that and stuff like that. But yeah, we're trying to, I should say, yeah, every day that gets closer, the excitement is growing. Okay. So,
folks, again, it's the local Dancing with the Stars. Tell folks the date that's taking place.
Yep, again. February 27 and 28.
Okay.
If you want to look and see if there's any tickets still available, dancemuskegon.com. You can also donate there. All of the money goes to the local food baskets. It does cover Ottawa, Oceana, and Muskegon County. Mm-hmm. And it's any of the food banks, I believe, receive any type of help that we can get from any money raised from ticket sales. There is a raffle this year. It's the first time they've done a raffle. Okay. They are selling raffle tickets. I don't know if there's that many left right now, but each team has a bunch of raffle tickets that we had to sell. They're $25. Okay. First place gets $15,000. Okay. Second place or second ticket drawn is $7,500, and then the third ticket, drawn is $2,500.
Okay.
So, and then the other proceeds, I believe, are going back into covering cost of the shows and stuff. The women's division runs this whole thing, and they're truly the most wonderful group of people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. They really take care of the stars and the pros. They really treat everybody well, and they just want nothing but the best for everybody. Awesome. So they really do a good job setting us up and helping us grow in this and succeed. It's pretty cool.
Did you recognize anybody else you knew within the other dance teams?
Yeah, so that's what surprised me is I actually know a handful of people that are on different teams.
Okay.
And I know a lot of people that have been on it in the past. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool the people you're constantly mixing with. It's just really neat. So yeah, it's fun to see the messages I get from people that are like a little bit of trash talk going on, sure, just in a playful way, because it's, you know, everyone wants to do well. Yeah, so
the guys you work with, are they looking forward to showing up?
I'm sure
you hear about it frequently, don't you?
So the guys are
you'd have to ask them twice.
They love to get a couple jabs in there because like they work with me, they know how goofy I am and stuff, but they also know, you know, sometimes if I'm walking and talking, I'm lucky to be standing. So they're like, I don't know how you're going to be dancing and being doing all this stuff. So they like to pick on me a little bit, just trying to figure out how I'm going to stay on my feet for the whole show.
You know, on a serious note, you know, the women's division of the chamber is taking us on 18 years. And, you know, and not that you have to be an expert on this, but I know they show some videos, but the idea of homelessness, people having food emergencies is a real issue in our community. So there's things we give to, and sometimes we go, but we have a real issue in our community. You know, again, I'm part of a food bank, and we see the people come in need. So how does that feel for you to know that you're having some fun, but you're really giving the park to something that's a real need in our community?
Well, truly, that's the best part. For me, it really is the best part because I always find myself in situations where I'm like, man, I wish I could give back, and I might not always have the money to give back. A lot of times, I mean, money does drive a lot of this stuff. Sure. I mean, to feed people, you got to have money to be able to buy the stuff. So to be able to help come up with fundraising ideas and this and that to generate money to give back to the people that need food, need help the most, especially in our local community. That's what it's all about. And I think that's how the stars are selected, is it's people that try to do well in the community, that want to do well in the community, or are known for doing well, giving back to the community. So I truly am lucky and honored and blessed to be a part of the show. I'm extremely thankful. And I, even though I get to do it for this year, I trying to already figure out how I can help next year and be a part of it, just even to raise money, because I know awesome. What it's going to. That's so awesome. I'm excited for that. That's so it's very humbling, truthfully. Mm-hmm. It's great. So, yeah, I love it. Okay.
So now you and your wife, your expectations have been raised for one of those date nights, a little dinner and dancing maybe in the future.
So I'm glad you asked that. After my third or fourth practice, I came home, legs were tired and wobbly, and I was out of breath still, because just trying to get in shape for that. Uh-huh. I told her, I think I would like to find somewhere around here where I could still take some dance lessons. And she's like, I would do it. I just don't want to have to perform in front of somebody. I said, well, that's fair. I would never force you to do that. Yeah. So, but yeah, even after this is done, I think the two of us want to
kind of give you a different perspective on it.
Than just something different to do. Yeah. We're almost empty nesters. We only got a couple years left. Our last kid is gone. Okay. So, it's what can we do to kind of keep life fun and mm-hmm. exciting for us?
I thought you were a young guy, but so what what are your kids saying about this?
So the kids are the reason why I called back and said I would do it.
Okay.
Before our oldest was finishing up college, he went to Michigan Tech.
Okay.
And he was home before he left for college, and he was like, I said, hey, listen to this voicemail of them asking to be on this Dancing with Local Stars. And I was like, I told them, no, I just can't. I can't do it. I can't dance. And they're like, you have to. You have to. Like, I'm playful and fun. And if you ever run into me at Meijer, I'm embarrassing my kids somehow in one way or the other.
That's what we're supposed to do.
That's our job, right?
Yes.
So they're like, you got to do it, man. You got to do it. So my kids told me I have to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to do it. And so they love it. They're excited.
That's awesome.
They're excited to see what's going to come of this. Uh-huh. So. Yeah.
Well, that's good. And it sounds like you're having a really tremendous experience.
Yeah.
Having a good time with it. Why don't you make an appeal? Use that microphone. Make an appeal to folks out there who might be listening to come and attend the event and the good work that it intends to do.
So, yeah, if you're attending the event, bring your cowbells, bring your noisemakers. You're allowed to bring everything except for an air horn. Please don't bring that. They don't like that. But you can be as loud as you want. They want you to be loud. It's a night in black and white. Doesn't mean you have to show up in a tuxedo. Mm-hmm. You can show up in something even satire and make it fun as much as you want, as whimsical as you want to be. But be loud. They're going to have food. I know they have open bars and stuff like that, I think, around there, cash bars, excuse me, around there and stuff. So, but anything raised goes all back to the community. And so come have a good time. And if you know somebody that's in it, again, go on dancemuskegon.com. You can look at the teams. Maybe you know somebody in there. Maybe you know one of the pros. You can donate $5, $10, $20 to a team and know that you're helping, definitely helping the community and stuff. So, but it's fun. It's all in good fun. The Muskegon Women's Division has a Facebook page. Go on the Facebook page. You can like it. You can see what fundraisers are going on. You can go out and meet some of the local stars and the pros and check out their fundraisers.
Okay.
And again, just by showing up at those or inviting your friends to those, you're helping raise money. So, it's a lot bigger than just the three shows. It's the several months leading up to it and the constant fundraising that's going on. So anything you can do to help, I mean, follow it, share it, like it. Again, it's a lot of fun. You meet some pretty interesting and fun people. It's awesome.
All right. Again, we're Ben Rollins. Ben, get a little plug in for your company again.
Great Lakes Design and Renovations. That's the company. We do a lot of remodels and renovations.
All right, folks. Again, it's the local Dancing with the Stars. A few tickets left. It's dancemuskegon.com. Hope you take the effort. Again, chance to have some fun and to make an investment in an important need in our community. Ben, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. It was awesome.
Good luck. I don't know if we'll make it down to the event, but so if I'm going, I got to make a decision real quick.
Yeah.
But have a good time. Have fun. Hope you and your family have a great time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Folks, we're going to take a brief break. We'll come back and wrap up our program for today. All right. Welcome back to Community Focus. In this last few minutes, just a few closing remarks. You know, we said at the beginning of the month, we have a lot going on in February. So I'm going to touch on three things before we close out today. Number one, as we said earlier, we had some fun with it. It's Valentine's Day weekend. You know, it's just a chance for you to express some gratitude, some appreciation for a special person in your life. So whether you do the candy, the card, just a thank you, a hug, a kiss, take advantage of the opportunity. People always appreciate hearing how you feel about them. Okay. Next thing, again, we're in February. We're still in Black History Month. Shout out to my sister-in-law, Winnie from Kenya, for the attire for today. I love you. Hope to get down to see you in South Carolina in the very near future. But there's events going on all over the community for Black History Month. The library has a series going on. So take some time this month. Catch one of the Black History events. If not, you got Facebook, YouTube, Netflix, Amazon. Spend a few minutes. Inform yourself, educate yourself, entertain yourself with some aspect of Black history. Finally, Monday is a federal holiday, President's Day. So a lot of you folks have the day off. Enjoy it. Rest, especially if you're really going for it on this holiday weekend. Take the day off. But with every holiday, whatever you feel about whatever president, let's take the day. Let's appreciate your favorite or your worst president. Take a few minutes. We live in this democracy called United States. Celebrate President's Day. I know one of my favorite things in the world is visiting Washington, D.C. and just looking at our American history, you know, getting through the Smithsonian's. So it may be a time to reflect on that. But whatever you choose to do, Valentine's Day, Black History Month, President's Day, remember what my brother Gregory T. always says. Be deliberate. Take time to be a blessing to somebody else. That is our show for today. We'll see you guys next Friday.